I would like to nominate my friend Holly Diamond, who is a fellow founder who is incredible. I won't tell her story because I want her to tell her story, but she is an immigrant who has done amazing, amazing things and has so many incredible stories. And I just think every time she talks, I cry. I'm telling you, you will be blown away.
Welcome to the Uplifters podcast, where every week we talk to an inspiring woman about how she does big, brave things despite having the same doubts and fears that we all have because we are human beings. Today, I'm talking to Holly O. Diamond, who was nominated for the show by the amazing Emily Levin, who you met in episode 116. Holly is the CEO of Work Onward, a map-based hiring platform that connects small businesses with local hourly workers, specializing in immigrant-owned businesses and blue-collar industries. We're going to talk about what drives Holly, what energizes her, what depletes her, and how she works through challenges and obstacles to keep moving forward. Holly, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here as well.
So to kick things off, tell us a little about Work Onward and how you got there.
So I'm a recruiter by trade. I've been working in the recruiting industry as an agency recruiter for the past 10 years. My niche industry that I focused on was blue-collar industries, so manufacturing and constructions. I'm originally from South Korea, and I spent some time in the West Coast, and I ended up moving to New York back in 2009. If you remember, 2009, it was one of the most challenging times to get a job. And so I just originally graduated from college and, you know, I studied psychology and I couldn't get a job. And so I ended up moving to New York with $400 in my bank account. It was extremely difficult. I had no jobs, no place to stay. Jobs have always been very heartbreaking to me because I myself struggle as a job seeker, applying like thousands and thousands of jobs and couldn't really get any responses at all. And ironically, I became a recruiter. So I've been helping job seekers, just people like me, maybe having a hard time, maybe going through some challenging times in their professional life and wanted to be a recruiter.
So tell us about the company you created.
Work Onward, we really wanted a inclusive hiring platform. So not just for entry-level people who are also having a hard time right now to get a job, but people like this, the C-level formal executives, senior citizens who might be retired, but still need to find a job. Because when you walk around the street and you visit the Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, you see elderly people are working in a part-time cashiers. What about the single parents? Or what about women? What about immigrants? They're having a hard time to get a job. I'm a first generation, went to college in my family. What about people that who don't have a college degree? We wanted to create a workplace platform that recruiters or the traditional recruiting platforms couldn't really give them a spotlight, and I wanted to help them. That's what the map really, the foundation of our platform, because I get lost all the time, even in the New York City. I'm always relying on the Google Maps and Apple Maps and try to find the directions. It's a very similar to people who feel kind of like lost in their career journey. And then they need a map. They need maybe people like me, like a Siri, like a, you know, some sort of guide to navigate their journey. So we wanted to create this map-based platform that they can easily find the jobs. But not only that, I want more employers to find them because it's a two-way street.
So tell us how this works. So is it an actual geographic map and a roadmap?
That's correct.
Of steps?
Yes. So you will see on our app, it's a typical map kind of features. You plug in zip code and you see all the job listings. So we try to amplify the businesses that either immigrants own businesses, minority women owned businesses, mom and pop owned businesses, because those are the ones that don't really get the, again, the spotlight. When people are looking for a job, everybody know who Google is, Amazon is, but they don't really know the deli or bodega that they're hiring because they're not being seen in the traditional job boards. So that's the one side. And for the people that were struggling to get a job, employers can also have access to see not their exact locations, but roundabout, like where they're located and what kind of jobs they're looking for. So we're basically making the matchmaking on the map.
How has this made a difference for folks?
I'll start from my parents first. So before I jumped my career from being an agency recruiter, now becoming a startup founder of a work-on-work company or in the workforce solution, it was a pandemic. And my parents have been working in a restaurant for over 20 years, blue-collar industry. And because of my parents' sacrifice, I was able to go to college and I graduate from college. And when pandemic happened, my parents, they themselves lost their jobs. So this is before I started the work-on-work. And as a recruiter, as a daughter, as a first, you know, child, I try to help them out. I try to, you know, build up their resumes in English because they don't really speak English well. I try to submit their resumes to the potential employers, but they don't get any responses. So I did something crazy. So I opened up the restaurant in the middle of pandemic. It was a crazy time. It was December 7, 2020, where all the other restaurants are shutting down. We ended up opening up the restaurant right in the middle of the, in a midtown in Manhattan. So we're in the Flatiron. And again, it's kind of connecting the dots of dignity, having a decent work for people like older adults who are having a hard time to get a job. My own principle was, hey, if I am their boss, if I'm the restaurant owner, they don't have to worry about getting fired or losing their job security. Let's create a environment that is sustainable for everybody. That was really the inspiration of adding the map feature because I myself became a restaurant owner and small business owner out of nowhere. I didn't plan about this. And then we were hiring a server and I posted job everywhere. I posted job on Indeed. I posted job in a bunch of different places, but people are not like really applying because like we just opened, we don't have any marketing. Like people couldn't really see our jobs. My mom came to me and when we were working at the restaurant, she brought the pen and paper and she started writing down handwritten in Korean in December 2020 when nobody's walking, it's a snowstorm's coming, it's a COVID, nobody's walking on the street. My mom posted the help wanted, the cashier wanted, and then she put it on the storefront window. And I was like, Mom, nobody would see this job posting. So that's how all the kind of my personal experiences and professional experiences kind of came to the fruition. And I'm like, we need a map. So that's how I work. Yeah.
That's so interesting. So, I mean, there's so much I want to ask you about this because that is not a common response to my parents don't have jobs. I'll just open a restaurant in a pandemic.
Right.
So, do you still have the restaurant?
I do. Yeah. We survived. I mean, it was still surviving because it's a tough market. Mom and pop businesses are not easy. We just celebrated our fifth work anniversary.
The heck? This is the sort of thing that people like work their whole lives to figure out and contemplate for decades. And then it's still incredibly challenging. So How did you go from this idea in what sounds like a matter of weeks or months to let's open a restaurant, to opening a restaurant, to keeping a restaurant alive for 5 years at this point?
Wow. It's a lot. I mean, I think like I was preparing for our podcast today, I was thinking about like what has happened in the past 5 years. It's almost, I can't really remember. Every day is just constant struggle. Like there's a fire. When you're in the fire, kind of like a survival mode all the time, you just have to do it. Mm. You can't contemplating or you can't building up the strategies or you don't have a time for it. You just have to do it. I spent some time in Oregon. People call us Nike town. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in the environment where, you know, you see the Nike logo with the Just to Do It. And I think that kind of like built in my DNA that for my parents, I had no choice. I had to keep it going and building up this restaurant. And also that become the birthplace of what we're doing and the work on where did, because I saw the both opportunities and the challenges. Without the technology, you can't really help more diverse and larger audience. Mom and pop businesses, it's not just my parents' stories. It's not just small businesses are closing down because they can't get help and then they got burned down. It's a pandemic for the cross US small business challenges. So I think that there's a moment in my life that just have to pick it up and do it.
What I hear in your story is you see a problem instead of wringing your hands, you just figure out how to solve it yourself.
Yeah, I think that's been part of me. I came from another country and English is my second language, obviously. And so if there's a certain kind of problems out there, there's nobody else could solve the problems other than me.
Especially when the challenges are so specific and yet represent such a big population, right? And so I think everything you're doing sounds like it is very targeted. There is this very specific problem I'm going to solve. And there's a lot of people who could benefit from the solution.
Absolutely. People always say it like, you know, what's the one thing they just keep you up at night? For me, is this stories. Like stories is imprinted in your brain that, you know, you hear about the stories about the people, their challenges and their pains. And their stories and my stories are kind of almost synced up. Because, hey, I experienced that challenges before as a job seeker. Mm-hmm. I know the depression that you would have when you don't have a job, you don't get a call, and then you get ghosted. Even when you are working in a corporate America, we talk about the glass ceiling, we talk about the bamboo ceiling, whatever ceiling that you might have. I went through that. Mm-hmm. And I've seen not just my family, I've seen women, especially for vulnerable populations, I would say, the people with lack of access are still going through this problems and it's not being solved.
Mm-hmm. And it takes somebody who has seen it firsthand and experienced it. And when you shared your experience of becoming a recruiter, the word that you used that was most evocative to me was you said it was heartbreaking, your experience of finding a job. And I suspect, based on everything you've told me, that it is that deep felt experience in your own life and a deep empathy for others' felt experience in their lives that has given you the energy and the power to solve really tough problems instead of backing away from them or wishing that somebody else would fix it. And I think a lot about how our sense of empowerment comes from being a creator, not a victim. And it's when we set ourselves into a victim mindset and we feel like everything is happening to us and we don't have agency or control, that we just get buried by our own thoughts. But when we put ourselves in that creator role, which is what I hear in your story of, yeah, this thing happens and it sucks and it's awful and I don't want it to happen to anybody else. And I'm not just going to sit around and hope for change. I'm going to create the change.
Absolutely.
That we discover what we're capable of.
Yeah, because there's a lot of emotion and those emotions are not the happy emotions, unfortunately. People don't come look for help from the recruiters when they're happy. Mm. People come to recruiters when they're miserable with their workplace, when they're lost, when they need help. They just need to talk to somebody because nobody is giving them a chance. That's when people come to recruiters. It's a lot similar to social work. It's the helping professions. And so I think as we're building this, there's really two different ways as us entrepreneurs go through. Are we going after the profit? Money is good. The capitalism, everything is fantastic. Like, you know, you get the investors' money and you know, you just keep rising up. Or are we actually building something that is more sustainable and really building the impact, really the focusing on the communities that they're overlooked and marginalized and people don't pay attention to them because there's no money in helping those professions. A lot of times that people say, that's a government jobs, that's a nonprofit jobs.
So how are you reconciling that?
It's tough. We have this platform itself that we work with the small businesses. but we try to connect with the more of a government nonprofit organizations to be our stakeholders. And in using with the technology, our platform itself is not complicated. It's not like super fancy, kind of clunky recruiting software. It's easy to use it. It's user friendly. So I think in terms of reconciling, it's a tough question because it's always a balance. You know, are we going to have like a salad? Are we going to have a burger kind of questions to me? It's like every day is a fight.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, company has to make a profit to survive. Social impact companies typically are in a very tough situation because of that. We talk to investors, we're like, hey, we're growing, we are serving, we're helping vulnerable populations, and then making an impact through our technology. Typically then, how's the profit going? So I think about this question a lot, like you can't serve two gods almost. So I think I have to choose what is true to me. First and foremost, we only have one life to live. So, and I always try to think about like why I started this from the beginning, where my journey has been. It's not an easy conversation to have.
Yeah. We can look at your story from the outside and say, wow, this person just like has an idea, makes a decision, and pushes it forward. Do you have doubts? Do you say, what is the right decision? I don't know what the right path forward is.
Of course, it's like you're driving and there's so many times you think, am I going for the right direction? But what's going to happen? What would be the right move? At the very beginning in the early journey, you don't even have the time to think about this because you just got started. You just have to keep going. I've been building work onward for about 2 years now. And now I start to, you know, see all the data set. I start to see what have I done in the past 6 months ago? What do I need to prepare to do it by the end of this year and the next year and the forward? There's a lot of things that kind of like almost blur your view. Mm. Even though like you started with such a convictions and the clarity, this is a problem that I'm going to solve. So I always tell people that, you know, I don't regret that I started what I started with the restaurant during the pandemic, even though it was a crazy thing to do. If I was using the time machine and to go back, would I do what I did before? Absolutely not. But at that moment, that was the right thing to do. And yeah, I mean, we're all human beings. We always think about, oh, I should have done that. What would happen? Like all the uncertainties and the doubts just creeps up.
Yeah, I think that's such a nice reminder, though, that I did a podcast once with a woman whose entire premise was on sharing stories of times we've said yes in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I shared that I accidentally said yes to my children. I was like, let's see what happens. And it's the best decision I never made. And I'm really, really glad I said yes. But if I had thought about it very much, I definitely would have talked myself out of it. And I think that's true for so much of life. It's just doing what you did there and saying, well, this is the right decision for right now. I can always learn from it. I want to talk about the word dignity that you've used a couple of times. What does that word really mean to you? What does it look like when we are being treated professionally with dignity? And what does it look when we're not?
Dignity, self-reflection. Like when you're waking up and looking yourself in the mirror, I don't like what I'm singing, you know, when I wake up in the mirror. But I think that this is who you are as a person. Like, no matter you try to put a lipstick on yourself and, you know, try to be somebody else, the reflection that you have, I think is a dignity. And so a lot of times that the people that come from the underserved, marginalized communities, or the people don't even have a time, the resource and luxury, or, you know, their upbringings, they themselves ignore the dignity that they have. They might not necessarily think that they're ignoring it. Most likely it's an unconscious thing that I deserve to be treated better. Mm-hmm. I deserve to get a job that really fulfills my career goal. A lot of people that who live by paycheck to paycheck, they don't think about this. We all wake up in the morning and we most likely look in the mirror before we head out to work. I'm also the victim of this as well, but we don't take a good care of ourselves. And so I think the dignity to me is very similar to mirror. You had, the more you look into it, the more you value your dignity and the more you hopefully to advocate and assert your right. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. I think what you're saying there is that it is asking for, it is demanding respect and care from yourself and from others. It is fair treatment. It is remembering that we're all humans and have feelings and needs. And to me, so much of it is about hierarchical thinking too, that when we talk about dignity in employment, it is about remembering that humans are all equal and all deserve equal treatment. And it's not just the people with money and influence and privilege that deserve to be treated with respect.
Absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Because one day you'll be a CEO or a C-level executive. The next day you might need a help and vice versa. In one day you might be a dishwasher at the restaurant. I myself, in 2008, when I came to New York with the $400 in my bank account, and then the journey that I ended up taking to be where I am, back then, I had no idea that I'm going to open up the restaurant. You know what I mean? Back then, I had no idea that, you know, one day that I'll be become a tech CEO and then building a workforce platforms and advocating for small businesses or the people that are having a hard time to get a job. It's a reflection of your journey. And I think that that's a dignity.
Yeah. What do you do in your companies to ensure people are treated with dignity?
Yeah, acknowledging that I myself make mistakes, I think that's the first thing. Mm. I myself is a vulnerable human being. Being as a CEO, that people always think that, you know, everything has to be impeccable, that you have to be perfectionist, that everything you do, that you have the amazing, like, McKinsey level strategy, and, you know, you are moving the mountains. The company cannot be built by one person. Mm. You need collaboration, you need team, you need empathy. A lot of times that I'm such a foodie and I like to break the bread with our team members. You know, I go to, mostly that we go to our restaurant and, but sharing the food with the team members, kind of the tough days and not every day is a day. And sometimes that our team members too, that they have things going on in their life that, you know, it might be challenging. And so I think that just creating that kind of a, almost like a community within the workplace and tell them that I'm sorry that I made a mistake, but sticking together for the bigger vision. Vision is not by one person. I believe that in order to move the vision and actually amplify the message into the people, multiple people that will believe in the mission.
That's really beautifully said. So one of my favorite things about this show is that each guest nominates another guest. Who do you want to nominate for the Uplifters?
I would definitely nominate Sherman. I met Sherman. She was a restaurant owner like myself, and she had this a Jamaican restaurant in Queens. And she shut down her business and she started her own business, the benefit insurance company.
I'm excited to hear her story. As Uplifters, we love to lift other Uplifters. How can we support you in your work?
We need more Uplifters. Mm. We need more stories of people in the podcast sharing their vulnerabilities and their cries. And because those are the stories that people remember. Those are stories that are shared. And I need a lot of support. I need help. And, you know, whether it's maybe stopping by a restaurant to say hello to my parents, like, hey, I hear your daughter's a story. I'd love to try some of the Korean food that you made. We make a kimchi from scratch. So
my favorite.
Love it.
I think we need to do an Uplifters meetup at the restaurant.
I would love that.
All right. We'll continue the conversation there. And we'll share your new company as well. And has it launched at this point?
Yes, we're launched. And we wanted to have more people to, you know about what we do, our story and why we started and what Work Onward is about, helping job seekers. So if you're watching this and having a hard time to get a job, or if you are having a hard time to find people, or maybe you walk around the main street and then you see one of those job postings like my mom did, you know, help wanted, the cashier wanted, let them know that we're here.
That's wonderful. And are you all over New York, the US, the world? Where are you?
We're hyper-focused in New York, but then we have customers that we're serving. It is a map base at the end of the day. So I always tell them, hey, use us like Airbnb. When you go, you know, other countries, let them know so they can post the jobs. And then we will post the jobs on the map and then people can find them on the map.
That's really cool. It's been so nice to meet you, Holly. I'm so inspired by you. You give me a real jolt of just do it energy.
Just gotta just do it.
Just do it.
No other way.
What am I waiting for? Thank you for listening to the Uplifters podcast. If you're getting a boost from these episodes, please share them with the Uplifters in your life and then join us in conversation over at theuplifterspodcast.com. Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast and like, follow, and rate our show. It'll really help us connect with more uplifters and it'll ensure you never miss one of these beautiful stories. Mwah! Big love.
Painted water sunshine with rosemary and thyme. Dwell in the perplexing, though you find it vexing. Toss a star and hover, be your own best lover. Relish in a new prime, plant a tree in springtime. Dance with idle hindsight, bring the sun to twilight. Lift you up, whoa. 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 Lift you up.
In the pre-chorus, right?
I was like, "Mommy, stop crying! Mommy, stop crying! You're disturbing the peace."